Our lesson this morning is a double lesson. It's a lesson on the power of faith, particularly persistent faith. And it also is a reminder to us that Jesus understands our limitations and our difficulties. That's a lesson we sometimes need to be reminded of. The lesson goes like this. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" They replied, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this," but they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. I have a question for you. Do you have blind faith? Or has anyone ever told you that you have blind faith? Have you ever been in a conversation with someone about God or about Jesus Christ, and as you've tried to share it with them, they've said to you, "Well, you just have blind faith. You just believe whatever the Bible says. But I believe what science teaches," or "my faith is more modern and up to date." Generally speaking, to have someone say to you that you have blind faith is sort of a slap in the face. But after today's lesson, I'm not so sure. Here were two blind men who had faith in Jesus, so I suppose you could say they had blind faith. We could ask them, "Why are you following Jesus?" And they would say to us, "Because he's the son of David. And we would say, "Well, what difference does that make?" And they would say, "Are you kidding? God promised our ancestor David that there would always be an ancestor, a descendant of his on the throne, and that one day one of his descendants would rule over Israel in an eternal kingdom. That person is called the Messiah, and the Messiah is the son of David, and we believe that Jesus is that person." Then perhaps we would say, "Well, why do you believe that Jesus is that person?" And they might have had some answers for us. They might have mentioned the healings that Jesus did, the healing they expected him to do. They might have mentioned, if they knew that Jesus was a physical descendant of David on both sides of his family, and therefore he certainly qualified, whether God had any greater plans for him or not, he still was the son of David. But these two blind people are demonstrating that they have an understanding of how God has been working in the history of his people. They have a familiarity with Scripture, and they know what the prophets have declared. Indeed, these two blind men seem to know more about the Scriptures and their prophecies than the teachers in Israel. I haven't come across any teacher or leader of the people who has referred to Jesus as the son of David, but these two blind men did. So Jesus asked them, "Do you really believe I'm able to do this?" They said, "Yes, we do." Now, I would say that's blind faith. What do they really have to go on? What did Jesus ever do for them before? And if God was merciful and able and willing to restore sight to them, why hadn't he done it before now? And if Jesus is a king or a king to be, then why is he wandering around with no home, no place to call his home? Everything that you could see about Jesus made the thought that he was the Messiah laughable. The thought that he was the one descendant of David who would assume the throne when the Romans were ruling in Israel doesn't make sense. But these blind men believed it anyway. And their faith got them their sight restored. Now, if that is blind faith, I'd like to have some of it. Eventually, they were healed of their blindness and could see. But even while they were blind, they had the eyes of faith. And they could see things that many people with better vision than themselves were not able to see. And that's the first lesson that I want to take away from today's passage. Blind faith does not necessarily mean wishful thinking. But if we truly believe what God reveals to us in His Word, there are going to be times when we too seem to have blind faith, a faith that ignores all the evidence, a faith that ignores what can be seen and can be touched, and dares to believe in something else, something different, something more. Indeed, if we believe in creation, we are already confronted with the charge of having blind faith. For everybody knows that evolution is true. At least it seems that way. If we see only with the eyes of this world, evolution makes a pretty good understanding of how we got here, an explanation of what we can expect in the future. But the Bible tells us a totally different story, a totally incompatible story. If evolution is true, then we really should get rid of our Bibles, as many people have done, even in the church. If the Bible is true, we need to be very careful about how we understand the topic of origins and how we got here. The Bible reminds us it's by faith that we believe that everything around us, everything we see, everything we can touch, everything we hear, came into being by the Word of God. He spoke, and what had not been came into being. There are many other ways in which a faith grounded in Scripture is going to look like blind faith. It isn't really blind, it's a reasoned faith. It's a faith that uses God's revelation and trusts in that revelation the way a scientist would trust in his findings. It's a faith that uses that revelation as a prism through which to see the events of this world. It's far from blind. In fact, it is a faith that sees what truly is. And so I thank these two blind men for having the persistence to keep after Jesus. And that leads us to the second lesson that I'd like to share this morning. Last week we said we learned two things. It's never too little and never too late to come to Christ. Your need is never too small. The timing is never too late. Today we learn another lesson. God is never too busy. There are many people who think that God has too much to do and they're not going to bother Him with their prayers. Today is an example of how wrong that reasoning is. Take a look at what Jesus has been doing just in the last few verses. We start at the end of chapter 8. He healed Peter's mother-in-law, and then He healed many people of various diseases and conditions. He calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and He cast demons out of two demoniacs. At the beginning of the 9th chapter, He crossed the lake. He healed a paralytic, forgave him of his sins. Chapter 9, as He went out from there, He called Matthew to be His disciple. Then He had dinner with Matthew. And then while He was with Matthew, John's disciples came to Him with a question, and Jesus did some teaching. While Jesus was teaching, someone came to Him telling Him of a daughter who was dead, but he believed that Jesus could raise her from the dead. So Jesus went out to raise her from the dead, and while He was going, a woman with a flow of blood came along, and she was healed. And then today's passage starts with the words, as he went on from there, he's confronted with two more people, blind people. "Have mercy on me," they say. But Jesus doesn't. He keeps going on his way. He goes into the house, and when he's gone indoors, they come in after him. And Jesus, seeing that they would not be denied, said to them, "Do you really believe I can do this?" And the men said, "Yes." And then Jesus warned them sternly not to tell anybody. And here's where the story breaks down a little bit. The Gospels tell us that whenever Jesus would cast out a demon, the demon would start to cry out, "You're the Messiah, you're the Son of God, you're the Son of David." And Jesus would rebuke the demon and say, "Be silent, don't say anything." And the demon would be silent. Well, we're not quite as obedient as the demons are. When Jesus told these two men not to tell anyone, of course, the first thing they did was go out and tell everybody they met. But what I'd like to look at for just a moment is that phrase, "Jesus warned them sternly." The word for "warned sternly" is a word that implies anger. And it's only used five times in the Gospels. And every time it's used, there's a sense of anger that goes with it. It's almost like Jesus is upset that he had to heal these people. And we ask ourselves why. And we come up, well, one reason might be that Jesus didn't want to be bothered by a lot of people who wanted healing. He was there to give them something more. And that's true. But another part of it is the fact that Jesus has been busy. And he's tired. He's had a full day. And now it's time for him to rest, but no one would let him rest. And so he's a little bit edgy. You can imagine, as hot as it is today, how easily tempers flare. Now, people don't think of Jesus as being someone who had a bad temper, and I don't think he did, but I do think he had some hard days at the office, if you know what I mean. I think Jesus did have some days where he was so busy that you wonder how he could do one more healing. And yet he did. And what's more, these blind men fully expected it. They were persistent. They would not be put off. And there are times when Jesus tells us that the key to answered prayer is persistence. There are times when we pray to God and he seems not to listen. There are times when we pray to God and he seems almost perturbed that we're bothering him. Jesus says, don't let that bother you. Be persistent. Be constant in prayer. And you will find that God is able to take care of you. We had a door back there that wouldn't open, so had to be persistent. See, Jesus is the door. And sometimes he seems like he's shut right in our faces. But the lesson from today, in Jesus' own words, is to say to us, be persistent in prayer. Trust in the character of God in spite of what you see. Sometimes it'll seem like blind faith to think that God really cares about you when all the circumstances seem to deny it. Sometimes it will seem like blind faith when you pray and pray and pray and never get an answer. But Jesus says persistence is the key. If you keep after God in prayer, believing that he will give you what you're asking for, if you ask according to his will, you will receive what you have asked for. And sometimes that persistence is just the lesson that God wants us to learn. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would teach us to be persistent in faith, to be persistent in prayer, to never give up, to never quit praying, and to never quit believing that you are a God who truly cares, a God who truly loves us, and a God who truly is powerful enough to help us in our time of need. Through Christ we pray. Amen.